Thanks for being here this morning. It's good to see you. Look out at your faces, people I love, and I thank God for you, for your lives, for your care for each other. Many different things happen in all your lives. I look at faces and I can think of some of the current events in your life, but we come together in the Lord today. Life is always happening around us. There's a lot of noise. Stephen Stills is an American singer and songwriter. Some of you may say, oh, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Yeah, that was one of his groups, right? But he himself was tremendous, is a songwriter. In 1966, he was part of a group called Buffalo Springfield. And he wrote a song that climbed the charts then called For What It's Worth. And basically, his lyrics were driven from the fact that he was looking around at his world, seeing young men going off to Vietnam and lives being lost, and why is this happening? What's going on? This conflict across the world. There was the mid-60s for sure, conflict in our streets, conflict in households, conflict on college campuses, social conflict, political conflict, cultural conflict, generational conflict. And he's looking at it all. And he had a chorus, and a part, kind of a refrain in his song that he repeated over and over. And he said this, and you may recognize it. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going round, right? You may say, yeah, I have, wasn't that a car commercial? And it was, but that's not right what it was really about. They just pulled part of it and put it as a tag on there for their car for a while, right? But what was he saying? He's saying, we got a lot of noise and voices out there, and we'd better stop and listen to them all. I actually think it can be very helpful for us to reflect on that song, and at least for us to be reminded, for us today, that noisy conflict is not anything new. Those lyrics were written when I was 5 years old, all right? It is a world of noisy conflict right now. Having said that, we realize it is louder a bit today because of how technology brings all of that noise to us if we want it. And there's so many different sources of media noise, right? And they may be this one. They all have their, this is the news that you should be paying attention to and caring about, this issue. And for in our world today, on all sides, most news is coming at us today with a political slant and rant to it. And this is how, if you're a good person, you should feel about this news story. And then you add social media to it. And there's a lot of emotion in social media, a lot of personal attacking, a lot of room for misunderstanding. Then you add the fact that almost anybody could have a podcast or a blog, and if you want, you can be bombarded with noisy conflict. We could follow Stephen Stills' advice, and we better stop and listen to all these voices, but it leads to a problem. What? Which one should I be listening to? Or when I listen to them all and they're all taking different positions, or what? Whose voice should I be hearing above all the rest? And you're all going, oh, now we know where he's going, right? Because I think that his lyrics are true. I just see a different truth in them than maybe he intended. To me, I look and I say, yeah, to his era, to our era, and to all the ones that will follow until Jesus has brought peace on this earth. Yeah, everybody look what's going around. Take a look, because there's a lot of noise and a lot of conflict and a lot of voices telling you what should be the most important issues to you. But know this, it's always been that way and it's always going to be that way. Take a look at what's going around. It's a noisy world of conflict. But to me, in the midst of it all, we'd better stop and say, hey, what's that sound? Because it's a sound that has gone forth to every single generation on this planet. It's the voice of God. Hey, What's that sound? It's Almighty God calling out to the children of Adam. Don't let all that noisy conflict prevent you from being consumed with my voice. You need to hear me. And so, let's just take a little pause, right, as we look into God's word. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for the beauty that we've sung about. Worthy is the Lamb. What a beautiful name. Jesus. And it is in your name, Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we want to hear the voice of our God today. Who we are, where we are, have your way, I pray, in your name, amen. First thing I'd like us to see is a creator who communicates. Because we've been studying 1 Samuel, and so we're back in it there, chapter 3. Appreciated once again Pastor Greg's tremendous message last week, and I thank God for the way he's allowing us to kind of meet, be preaching through Samuel, and every 4 or 5 weeks or so, Pastor Greg has been kind of just opening our hearts to the Psalm 139. But back in 1 Samuel 3, we read verse 1, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days, visions were infrequent, and it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, that the Lord called Samuel. And he said, here I am." There's some details there we'll see in a moment, but what I really want us to focus on there is a creator who communicates. It's there in verse 4. The Lord calls out, "Samuel. Sam. Samuel." And think about it. It's the sound of the voice that called creation into existence. It's the sound of God's voice that said, "Let there be light." It's the sound that Adam heard in the garden when he was hiding in sin and God said, "Adam, where are you? I'm a God who wants to talk to you personally. Hear me." It's the sound that Noah heard when God said, "Hey, Noah, I want to display to the world that those who refuse to hear my voice are going to be judged, but those who hear my voice, I'm going to save them." It's the voice that Abraham heard. "Hey, Abraham, I'm going to build a nation through you, and I'm going to display when that nation hears my voice, I bless them, and when they don't, I bring judgment on them." It's the voice that Moses heard. "Hey, Moses, I'm going to rescue my people out of Egypt, and I want you to tell them they have to hear me." Years have passed, and now it's the very same voice Samuel hears. Samuel. I want you to remember, as we live in our daily world today, right? We live on an earth that is beautiful and stunning, and yet it is violent and dangerous. We live daily lives and we see love and laughter. We see hatred and tears. It's very important for us to remember it's not a world of chaos. It's not a world of random experience. The Creator still holds it all. He really does still got the whole world in his hands. And he's still talking to us, right? That's the important thing for us to realize, that through the centuries, the Creator has not walked away from his creation. There is a resounding sound. Hey, what is that? It's the voice of God. And he came to speak to Samuel. And ultimately, he speaks to us through those words, but also through his son Jesus, right? Jesus was very clear with that. If you hold your place in 1 Samuel and look at the Gospel of John, in John chapter 12, Jesus wants us to be sure that we know we're hearing from the Creator. And in John 12 and verse 48, he says these words. Come on. He says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." I give out exactly what the Father has for me to hear, that the creation may hear the words of the Creator. Obviously, God the Son also, all things were created by him. But it's important to remember that what we're reading about, the very same God who came to Samuel in the wee hours of the morning, and that's what those early verses are kind of saying, that they had a lamp that was lit, that stayed lit throughout the night in the tabernacle. They would put enough oil in it, but it would usually be running out of oil and start to flicker as the sunlight or the light began to appear in the morning. It's not yet morning yet. It still hasn't gone out. And in that moment, God comes to Samuel, and he does the same with me. You say, "Wait a minute, what are you about to declare?" He doesn't come to me and say, "Vincent, there are 13 days left for the earth," you know, or whatever. No, he comes to me not through direct special revelation, like to me personally, but through what? As I lie there and the Holy Spirit brings what? The words of Christ, the words of Scripture. God speaks to us, right? He's communicating to us. It's you may say, "Oh, I wish God would talk to me the way he did Samuel." Jesus says, "He is. He really is." In chapter 14 of John's gospel, Jesus says how that occurs, right? John 14, verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." The Holy Spirit is going to take the word, the beauty of general revelation. Hey, there's a security to life. It's clear that God's holding this planet. The beauty of the life of Christ, the words of the prophets, the words of Paul, the words of Scripture, that it's all the Holy Spirit allowing it to be so fresh. That's what Paul's saying when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Someone may say, "Oh, these are doctrinal verses about inspiration." Yeah, but don't think of doctrinal verses as, "Okay, I got to remember these for the test or whatever." These are incredible verses of the beauty of the contemporary voice of God. It's still fresh. But Paul writes to Timothy years ago, but about writings that were from years before. 2 Timothy 3:14, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." He's saying the word of God is so fresh still, and he speaks to us. And I say, well, I want him to tell me, which job should I take? And if he doesn't, that means he's not speaking to me wrong. Before I was a pastor for those 7 years out of college and before entering pastoral ministry, was in different, the bulk of that time was spent selling doors and hardware to the construction industry and selling, you know, plastics for the print industry. But there was a little stretch where I had like 3 jobs in 3 months. You know, I was a mortgage rep and I worked for Orkin, you know, and I worked for a little printing shop. And somebody might say, well, you obviously weren't hearing the will of God. I say, no, I would sit before the Lord. Lord, speak to me through your word. What your word makes clear is I'm a father of a little child and my wife. You have called me to work. Work is a good thing. Man, woman, work is a good thing to be accomplishing and productive. And so, Lord, I know your word's telling me I can't just, sit home and do nothing. And your word also tells me that I'm not allowed to just take what other people have worked for and steal it from them, right? So your word is speaking to me that I need to go and look for employment. And okay, this would seem to be one, whatever it is, I'm going to be a man of God. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be, whatever. And following, but his word guided me. Sure, it guided me. Ultimately, I had to say, this appears to be an open door. I'll take it. And I guess you only wanted me at that company for a month because, the door closed after that, right? But my point is, he is communicating the important things of life to us. What, the valuable truth and the sound of the voice of God through the centuries is fresh today, and it's available. Yesterday, about 10:30, I got a text from Sandy Root. Not at night, in the morning. Sandy's text said, hey, could you just remind me what time the graveside service for Ella Hankel is? And I said, yeah, it's at 11:30. And she responded, oh, I guess that's why I'm the only one here, right? I thought that was funny. And Sandy had to wait for an hour if she wanted to, be there as part of the service. Listen, you go before God, Lord, I want you to speak to me. He never says, just, I'll be back. Now, do we need to wait on the Lord sometimes? Sure. Lord, I'll wait on you. I'm opening myself to your word. I'm just, absolutely. But the exciting part is, he is a creator who communicates. Do you believe that? Because my whole life is rooted on the fact it's secured, it's anchored, it's fun, it's wonderful, it hurts sometimes, it can be frustrating, and I can have, lack understanding. But the fact that God communicates to me, it makes all the difference. The question is this: is my heart hearing him? Am I hungry to hear him? Because that's the second thing we really see back in 1 Samuel. We see a creator who communicates, but we also then see a lad, as some translations say, who listens. Because in 1 Samuel 3 at verse 5, we read, then he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you, lie down again. So he went and lay down again. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose, went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy, and Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for thy servant is listening. Mom and Dad, maybe all those times that I came into your room in the middle of the night, I actually was hearing God. I didn't know it. I thought you were calling me. My dad would always say, get back in your room. But we read this verse as a scripture, and we find ourselves saying, wow, it took a bit here to realize what's happening. Verse 1 kind of lets us know really the time in Samuel's life, because it says, now the boy Samuel, some translations say lad, but I want you to know the word that's used there in the Hebrew is the exact same word that's used later in chapter 17, and it's referring to when David slew Goliath. Josephus says, he's a Jewish historian, that Samuel was 12. A lot of other commentators believe he was probably a teenager. But the point is that he is spoken to by God. Verse 7 says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. That's not saying that Samuel wasn't following God. We know chapter 2 and verse 26 told us, now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. So we know Samuel has a soft heart before God. He has a growing faith. He just has not yet heard direct revelation from God. Had no idea that he was going to be God's mouthpiece. And that's what's happening now. And twice he goes to Eli, and Eli says to him, I didn't say anything, go back to bed. And finally in verse 8, on the third time, what? Eli, at the end of the verse, discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Eli realized, whoa, this is God wanting to talk to Samuel. And he gives Samuel a simple direction, and we read that go back and tell the Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. We read at the end of verse 9, so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And it's kind of like he just went back to bed and off he went to sleep. I don't think so at all. I think if you're Samuel and Eli says, Samuel, God is wanting to speak directly to you like he did to Abraham, like he did to Moses, I think Samuel's back in bed. The anticipation. I remember the first time that I noticed seeing Greta, Philadelphia College of Bible. I was a student there, and I saw this freshman girl walking across the campus, and I can still see her. I can tell you what she was wearing. I see her, and I thought, whoa, who is that? Right? A beautiful gal, looks very cheerful, looks happy. I need to communicate with her, right? I need to make that happen. And I remember going to people, what's her name? I don't know how to pronounce her last name. It starts with an H-L-U-C-H, you know, Lukey, Greta Lukey, you know, or maybe it's Halucci or whatever, but that's all right. I'm going to find out. All right. You know, and I shared this before, my little connection with the registrar, and I went and found out her schedule, and I know we call that stalking today, but they didn't call it that back then. Back then it was whatever. You know, it was entrepreneur. I don't know what it was, But so I found out where she was going to be, and my name's Vince, and began this relationship, and I pursued it. We started dating, but early in our first month, I remember a moment came. Philadelphia College of Bible, the dorms were like shaped like a U, and my dorm room was down A1 was down on the very bottom floor. You know, you're looking out the window, which is ground level, and half your body's below it. And she tapped on our window. And she was smiling and happy, said, you want to take a walk? I can remember, yeah. And I remember grabbing a sweatshirt, saying to my roommate, Noxie, she came looking for me. That's all I got. You know, and she was smiling, so I knew she wasn't ready to break up with me yet. And so I was, you know, it was going to be a wonderful, but Greta wants to talk with me. And we did. Any of you PCB, PBU people, Bedside Baptist was across the street. We called it that, a little church in there. We sat on their steps there. You know what I know? I know that Greta is not God. I know that. And so the question I have to ask myself is, am I just as excited to know that God has come to talk to me as I am that Greta was knocking on my glass window, right? God wants to talk to me. God wants to talk to me. God wants to talk to me. Do I anticipate that? Verse 10, we read, Samuel says, speak, for thy servant is listening. It refers to an internal behavior, not just your ears hearing. John MacArthur says, the word means to hear with interest and with the intention to obey. We all know as parents, as we're talking to our kids sometimes, and Are you listening to me? No, they hear you. I was there myself, right? And we do it as adults. I don't mean to pick on kids. We do it as adults. Are you really listening? Sometimes, last week, Pastor Greg kind of reminded us of one of the powerful hymns of the faith that was written by Guns N' Roses, if you were listening to his sermon last week. I do think there's value. I really do. Sometimes just listening to the secular songs and hearing fellow travelers who are created in the image of God, but they haven't come to a faith in Him, but yet they're sharing from their hearts that same thing that Solomon says, that God has set eternity in our hearts, that there's this void, and they're singing songs that are echoing that truth. One of them I remember hearing years ago, actually it was when I started dating Greta, and it was the first time I ever heard the album, by a group called Supertramp. Now, we wouldn't probably name, you know, our group that, but Supertramp, and the song said this: I know that there's a reason why I need to be alone. I know that there's a quiet place that I can call my own. Is it mine, O Lord? Is it mine? He goes on to say, sometimes I get so weary from the battles in this life, and it seems to me that you're the only hope in sight. Is it mine, O Lord, is it mine? And toward the end, he says this. Now I'm locking up. He says, I know, if only I could find a way to feel your sweetness through the day, the love that shines around me could be mine. Oh, give us an answer, won't you? We know what we have to do, but there must be 1,000 voices trying to get through. You know that's true. I listen to that, and that's a heart saying, there's all this noise, there's so many voices telling me, this is the issue you should care about, this is what's most important, this is where you should stand, there's all these voices, but something in my heart tells me that there's one that's been there all along. There's one voice that's the voice that I'm supposed to be hearing. I need to hear from God. If you listen to news and political radio for 10 hours a day, and you listen to a God for a 5-minute devotional, don't be stunned if your life is filled with anxiety and tension. I got all these problems I gotta solve. I got a country I have to rescue. No, you don't. Be a good citizen. Care. Listen, be sure, sure, but listen to me. God is saying, if all of that noise and conflict is preventing you from hearing my voice, if those people are getting big and I'm getting small, if those people are getting loud and I'm getting faint, you need to hear me. You need to hear me. Whether you sit down in Samuel or in the Psalms, or I just want to see my Savior in the Gospels. Oh God, speak to me, for your servant is listening. I know that the noise will always be there. I need to hear you. People say, Pastor, it sounds like you don't care about these issues. I care. Sure I care. And as a citizen, as an opportunity to take a moral stand, absolutely. But listen, this country is not going to be there at the end. There's only one kingdom. It's the kingdom of Almighty God. And I've said that over and over because we can't put them on an equal level. I have to hear God. And hear it in him in a way and listen in a way that allows me the third thing, and that's an Eli that's willing to embrace. An Eli who embraces God's truth. See, a creator who communicates, a lad who listens, but an Eli who embraces it. For in chapter 3 and verse 11, we read, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. In verse 15, Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. I think part of that is partly a good quality. Samuel's a bit different than Joseph, who says, hey, brothers, I got to tell you my dream. It's incredible. You're all going to be bowing down to me. I'm going to be the greatest. You're going to be underneath me. Maybe he could have used a little bit of Samuel's sensitivity, right? Samuel is hesitant. How do I affirm these terrible words of judgment against Eli? But he doesn't realize that Eli has won the victory with God. Eli has been broken and humbled, and he is prepared to embrace the truth completely. And that's what happens in verse 16. Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And he said, what is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you. So Samuel told him everything and he hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Eli says that. Let God do what seems good to him. Sometimes I may think I'm saying, speak, Lord, your servant listens. And really I'm saying, speak, Lord, your servant is ready to listen to the things that I'd like to hear. There's individuals that have been brought up in the absolute clear truth of Scripture that I find myself involved now in discussions with them, and they're basically saying, I want to embrace this. Is there a verse of Scripture I can pull out of context that can support this? And I'm saying, the way it was presented to you in Scripture is what it is. You can't choose another path and then try and make it fit. Has the church abused portions of Scripture? Sure, at times, and made people suffer because of it? Yes, but that doesn't make the Scriptures less true. To look at them and say, what do they say? Not what do I want them to say? And Eli is, what a great response. Eli says, God has taught me. God has taught me. I want to hear exactly what he has to say. Don't muddy the message. Had the privilege to go out golfing with Carl Doan this past Thursday. Carl's a terrific golfer. I give him a C for his putting, but his no. Carl, I just sat there like each time he'd tee off, I'd think, whew, if I could do that one time, right? You know. But if you said to me, well, who won, you or Carl? And I responded to you, well, I don't know if you know about the game of golf, but in golf, each time you hit the golf ball is called a stroke. And I actually had 35 more strokes than Carl, but it cost us each the same amount of money, so it cost me a lot less for each stroke. So who really won if you consider the value of cost per stroke? Those of you who don't golf might be like, those of you who are golfing are going, come on, you lost by 35 strokes. That's all you have to say. Don't muddy the message. Eli says, Samuel, I've learned something from failure. I didn't bring the message clearly to my sons the way I should have. I just kept affirming them, instead of telling them exactly how God felt about what they were doing. I've learned the lesson the hard way, and now, even if God's message is judgment for me, I've won the victory. I'm at a place now where I say, whatever you want, God. Whatever you want. I want to embrace your voice. I want to hear you. Gene Getz says, Eli did not leave this life shaking his fist at God. John MacArthur says, Eli resigned himself to God's sovereignty without any reluctance. Has God's voice become distant to you in our noisy world? Is it people gotten loud and you're starting to wonder, hey, what's that sound? I'm having trouble even hearing it. I love the musical ending to Les Mis. I love it. See a stage production or the movie. There's been so much noise and conflict and so many voices on the stage all throughout. And we come to the end, and hey, what's that sound? And you hear this faint, do you hear the people singing the song? And it starts to build, right? Maybe you've stopped listening to God, or maybe you've just let the other voices drown out his joy, his power, his peace, his confidence, his contentment. Hey, what's that sound? Do you hear the Savior call? It is the voice of Christ the King. It is the voice of him who died to set you free from death and sin. When the beating of his drum becomes the beating of your choice, then you will know that you are listening to God's voice. No, we're not going to keep going. I'll stop there. If you've heard Les Mis, I've whipped you up. You're ready to go home and you'll want to go listen to Les Mis or put the movie on. My whole point is this. Hey, what's that sound? Because if you'll listen, it's going to get louder. And it's going to get louder. It's the voice of Almighty God. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you that you talk to us. Forgive us, God. We are so distracted. Sometimes with good motivation, we want to care, we want to be involved, but it distracts us often. It consumes us. We want to be consumed by your voice, oh God. Let us hear your voice, because it is the voice of Christ the King. Let us hear you, God. Speak, Lord. Your servants want to listen. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.